Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Today it is the beginning of Advent and we are preparing our hearts for the arrival of Christ. We're going to be lighting our Advent candles. We do this because we remember that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our lives. And as we recognise his presence, we also recognise that he brings us hope, peace, joy and love. So the first candle we light today is the candle of hope. Jesus came and brought us hope. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for coming into the world and bringing us that wonderful gift of hope. Help us to continue to hold on to hope even when things seem hopeless. May we look to you in all things. Thank you, God, you are our hope giver. Amen. So as it's the beginning of Advent, we're starting our Advent series and we're thinking about what Christmas is really like. When we think about Christmas, we often find ourselves falling for the illusion of it being this fluffy, quaint little scene that we can put on Christmas cards and have ornaments of under our tree. But the reality of Christmas is very different. The real Christmas would have been shocking and disturbing, shaking people up from their ordinary lives and transforming them forever. So in this Advent season, we're going to think about how Jesus's birth disturbed the lives of those around him. And as we go through the Advent, we're going to be considering how Jesus can disturb us and our lives from our slumber and can transform our lives too. And so this week, we're going to consider how the news of Jesus' birth disturbed the ordinary to make room for the miraculous. So first I'm going to read from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So Mary was just an ordinary peasant girl. That day when Gabriel visited her was probably just a normal Tuesday. There she was, busy with the tasks of the day, perhaps doing household chores or cooking a meal, when suddenly she is disturbed by the arrival of Gabriel. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." And we're told that Mary was troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this would be. When I was younger, I always used to wonder why was she troubled and why was she wondering what kind of greeting it could be. After all, surely it isn't something to be scared of. and the angel was saying that she was highly favoured, and the Lord was with her, so why should that cause her to be troubled? However, as I've gotten older, I believe I've come to understand Mary's concerns a bit more. Because as amazing as it is to hear from God, we can guarantee that if he's calling us to something, then it's going to disturb our comfortable routines, and life as we know it will never be the same. When God calls us, we can be certain of two things. One, it will be an amazing adventure of wonders and excitement. And two, it will be an adventure that shakes us up and moves us far beyond our comfort zone. This was certainly the case with Mary. She had plans for her life that were ordinary and comfortable. She had dreams that were the kind of dreams that were expected from a young peasant woman living in Israel in the first century. She was betrothed and preparing to marry Joseph. Her mind was probably fixated on the plans for her for the marriage, the wedding plans, the dreams of the future she'd have with him, perhaps thoughts of the children she'd have with Joseph. But then Gabriel comes along, and that single conversation was like dropping a pebble into still waters. The ripples it caused would impact her life for her whole life. I wonder how much she knew that life would change when she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." By allowing her ordinary life to be disturbed, Mary changed the course of history. So much so that we still refer to the period of history before this moment as BC, before Christ. But in order for this to happen, Mary had to be willing to submit to God and to sacrifice her ordinary life for the sake of God's plan. And this would have touched every part of her life. Let's consider just a few ways that Mary and Joseph's lives would have been disturbed by Jesus' arrival. So one of the biggest disturbances would have been her relationship with Joseph. I can picture her at home with after Gabriel left, trying to work out what she was going to say to Joseph, knowing that no matter what she said, Joseph would immediately assume she had been sleeping around and had made up some ridiculous story to try and cover it up. How am I going to tell him? There's no way he's going to believe me. I can barely believe it myself, and it happened to me. He's going to think I've been sleeping around and have just come up with some story to cover up the results. I can just imagine how that conversation will go. "Hey, Joseph, love, I've got something to say to you. Will you come and sit with me for a moment? Well, you see, someone came to see me. Well, not just someone, an angel, the angel Gabriel. I know it sounds crazy, but it happened. I'm not going mad. Hey, stop trying to check my forehead. I'm not ill. Listen for a moment. So Gabriel told me that I am greatly favoured by God, and so he has given me a special task. He told me that I will conceive a child with the Holy Spirit, and that the power will come on me. The power of the Most High will overshadow me. I'm not lying. It happened like that. I promise. I haven't been sleeping around. I don't know how to make you understand, but that is what happened." Yeah, that's gonna go so well. I know I need to trust God. But what if I lose Joseph? Surely he isn't gonna stay with someone who he thinks has been sleeping around. I just don't know what to do. I hope God knows what he's doing. God did know what he was doing. I can't imagine the heartache she must have been feeling, knowing that obeying God and following his call might cost her her relationship with Joseph. But of course it didn't destroy her relationship with Joseph, because God is loving and caring. He had a plan. He ensured that Joseph knew the truth of what was going on. But imagine that stress and heartache for the few days where she thought Joseph was going to divorce her. It must have been immense. Following God can cause disturbances in our relationship with others, especially if they don't believe in God. Mary was willing to risk her relationship with Joseph because her love of God was so strong. But what about us? How does God disturb our relationships with the people around us? Does he challenge us to speak more directly to them about him? Do we listen? Or perhaps God speaks to us about a relationship that we know is wrong, but we carry on anyway. Or perhaps God wants us to make him more at the centre of our relationships with others, making sure that we're praying with one another and giving time to talk about God with one another. God should be a constant presence in our relationship with others, even if those people don't believe in him. How can we make sure that God is allowed to disturb and interrupt our relationships? Can we give him permission to be present in all our conversations and interactions with other people? Secondly, Mary's decision to follow God would have caused great disturbance to hers and Joseph's social standing and their communal relationships. People would quickly find out that Mary was pregnant, and it would have caused a massive scandal throughout the town of Nazareth. Neighbours, friends, strangers, even family would have been coming up to them, questioning them, demanding to know what's going on. The idea of a couple sleeping together before they were formally married would have been horrifying. And then, of course, people would have found out that Joseph was not the father, and so they'd accuse Mary of being a harlot, sleeping around and bringing shame upon her family, herself, Joseph and his family. Concepts of honour and shame were especially important in that culture. Thus, bringing down shame upon a family would have been disastrous. Mary's choice to follow God meant that she would experience shunning, scorn and hatred from those around her. Whatever her social status, whatever her friendship group was like, whatever her relationship with the community around her would have been completely disrupted and potentially destroyed. But this would have affected not just her, but her whole family and Joseph and his family as well. Joseph would have been scorned for being weak and for staying with a promiscuous woman. Rumours and gossip would have spread around the town like wildfire. And then once the story about what had happened became known, I also imagine they would have been accused of being either liars or insane. The people would whisper behind their back, making comments about their character and their mental stability. Let's imagine what Joseph might have been thinking. I struggle to hold back a sneer as another group of people walk past me, laughing, gossiping, and making scornful comments about us. They're not even trying to be subtle about it, staring at me like that, saying things loudly like, "Oh, that Joseph, he's pathetic. Imagine staying with someone who's been sleeping around and is bearing another smuck's child." Still, I suppose at least these people aren't crossing to the other side of the road to avoid us when they see us. That's ridiculous. People are acting like we've got leprosy or something. And it's not just ridiculous. It really hurts. I've grown up with these people. Most of them are practically family, and I thought that they would stand with me through everything, through anything. But I guess I was wrong. People keep sneering at us, calling us liars, or saying we're mad because of the truth of what is happening. They keep talking really badly about Mary, calling her all kinds of names. And then they think me weak for staying with Mary, or they say that I'm mad for believing her lies. Bad enough that this is happening to me, but I can't bear how much it's hurting other people. My parents have been accused of raising a pathetic, weak-willed, insane boy who's bringing shame to the family. Our family business has been suffering. No one is willing to buy things from the crazy carpenters at the heart of this town scandal. And Mary. My poor Mary. I came home the other day to find her sobbing her heart out because of what some women at the well said, calling her all kinds of horrible names. But then when I tried to comfort her, she just put on this brave smile and said, "I trust what God is doing. I'm blessed because of what he has done through me. It doesn't matter what other people say. I know that God has a plan, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing, but that doesn't mean it's easy right now. I sometimes wish God had chosen someone else, but every time I think that way, I just picture Mary's joy at being chosen to serve God. I have to trust in God and what he's doing through us. Mary is going to give birth to the Messiah, and that's more important than my standing in this community. We often have to allow God to disturb the status quo and our standing within a community, within our friendship groups, within our relationships with people in our family or at work. Because God doesn't want us just to live comfortable, boring lives. He wants us to make a difference. He wants us to shine out his light to those around us, to bring hope where hope is needed. And so we need to give God our full attention and allow him to interrupt and disturb our ordinary lives to bring the miracle that he has promised to us. Mary and Joseph had the amazing opportunity to bring the miracle of Jesus into this world, but they had to sacrifice their ordinary lives. They had to allow God to change their entire existence. What miracle might God want to do through you? What miracle might he be planning to use your life to bring into the world? Are you willing to sacrifice your ordinary life, allow God to disturb you, and do the miraculous in your life?